First Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. First Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they properly may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Very glad to be here. I'm always thankful for these opportunities. This Friday is family fun night, and Britt and I kind of talked back and forth, and we thought it'd be best to kind of open it up, but we would like to know a number as best we can. The thing that we started thinking about when we started talking about the teams is, yes, the teams are great, but what I firmly believe is that it takes a family to raise a group of teens. It takes a family to grow the youth. It takes a family to grow those young ones up. And it's good for us to spend time together. But if we don't have a number, it's going to be hard for us to make the preparations that we need to make. I don't care what the number is. We're going to make it happen either way. We hope you're there. But if you give us a number, that will certainly help. We've got a sign-up sheet there in the back. And we hope that to see you then. And we hope to have some good time to fellowship, some good time as a Christian family, to just spend time and enjoy each other's company. Throughout my life, there's one thing that I've always loved to do, and that is to read. And I've read to the point that many of my family get a little irritated with me. When they went on vacation, last time I had my iPod in. I like to listen to books through audio, and I listen to books in my car on my ride to work. Sometimes it's the Bible, sometimes other books. I read all the time. I came across a book one time, and it was titled Drive, and the book was about mastery. How can we master things? And the title of the lesson this evening is How Can We Master the Christian Life? Which at first sight, some people might squint at that and say, is it even possible to master the Christian life? Is that something that we can in fact master? And what I did was I looked at this book and I tried to put on my Christian lens and look at what they said in the book and compare it to the Christian life. Because everything I believe that we do, we should always have that Christian lens as we try to look through the things that are going on in our world. They said that there were three things that it took to master something. I thought that was interesting. Well, would these three things, if we applied them, would they help us to master the Christian life, or is that even possible? Number one, they said, if you're going to master something, is that you must grow. In fact, the book talks about some research that was done, and this research was relevant to me as a teacher, but it was talking about students. And the research basically took a group of students, and they took one group of students and said, you can learn, you can grow, you can better yourself. And the other group of students, they said, you know what, your knowledge is fixed. Your knowledge is fixed, you can't grow, and you really can't grow and develop. And what they did is they, after they had indoctrinated these two groups for a short period of time with these ideas, is they gave them two questions. One question was easy and one question was hard. Well, the easy questions both groups flew through and they had no issue. Then once the hard question came along, the ones who were told that their knowledge was fixed gave up. They gave up on the question. They looked at it and they said, that's hard, I give up. But the group that was told that they could learn, that they could grow, they spent more time on the question, and many times they in fact solved it. If we are going to try to master the Christian life, one thing that cannot be absent is a mindset that I must grow. And growing is not easy. Growing many times is hard, but do we tell ourselves in our own mind that I cannot grow? I have met my full potential. I cannot go any farther. I have went as far as I will go. I will not grow anymore. I can't possibly grow anymore. I have met my potential. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're ever going to master the Christian life, we have to understand this idea. We must grow. We must grow each and every day of our lives and our service to Christ as we try to go throughout this life. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. Do you desire the pure milk of the Word? Not just desire it, but desire it for the purpose of growth. If you have fasted, if you have took the words of God, and if you put them out of your life, you will not grow. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying to God? Or have you went on this fast where you say, I don't need any more spiritual nourishment. I have met my peak. I'm at my pinnacle. There is no need to grow any further. Do we have the desire that we should to grow? Because many times, I believe as Christians, we shut out growth. We shut out growth in many ways. Sometimes we shut out growth by saying, I have all the answers. Many times we shut out growth because we say, I can't be wrong. Many times we shut out growth because we say, I'm not going to discuss this or that. Or maybe sometimes we just say, I don't want to put forth the effort to grow. Have you shut growth out of your life? Because if you have shut growth out of your life, certainly you will not be doing what God wants us to do. As 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a desire to grow spiritually? Because when we're talking about spiritual growth, we understand that there's an implication that we need to be consuming the words of God. Not only consuming the words of God, but that the words of God have an effect on us, that we apply it in our lives so that we can become better servants of God. But have you shut the fruit of God out of your life? Have you shut it out to the point that you cannot grow? Because we know that God has provided a peace that we can be quenched if we just continue partaking of. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is nothing left out. God has provided us a balanced menu of everything that we need to grow not only in knowledge and grace, but to grow in the application of our Christian lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, He tells us He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There is nothing left out. The feast has been laid for us, and the question is, do you have a desire to grow? See, we're dealing with a restaurant that's open 24 hours a day. When does the Bible ever close? It closes when we close. That's when the Bible closes. When do we stop growing? We stop growing when we decide to take the Bible and put it far away from our lives. That is when. Because we're dealing with a restaurant that is open 24 hours a day. We're dealing with a meal that will never end. If we will just eat. If we will just consume that which the Bible has to give. I think that's why in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you hunger and you thirst after righteousness, if you hunger and thirst after the words of God, if you are hungering and thirsting to grow, you will be filled. But so many times, we say we don't want that food. We turn it away, we let it go far away from our lives, and in effect, we stop growing because we have refused that which God has given us. I love my grandmother. My grandmother was a very special person, as most of our grandparents are in our lives. She was one of those most loving people that I ever met in my life. I think that's an application that we put to most of our grandparents, it just seems like. But my grandmother was a cook. And when we would go over to my grandmother's house, she would just keep cooking and cooking and cooking until me and my two brothers and my sister were full. In fact, some of my memories of my grandmother were her running out of her trailer, and she said, oh, don't forget the gingerbread, don't forget the biscuit. She would try to even give us food after we were done eating. We'd already ate a full meal, and she's running out trying it while I was driving away. Hey, don't forget this and that. And my dad would always turn around to us in the car. He'd look at us, and he said, are you guys full? And he says, if you're not full, it's your own fault. If you are not spiritually full, what you have to know is it's your own fault. Because you have had ample opportunity, you have had ample time, and the reason is that the Bible is here. The Bible in our country is more accessible than it has ever been. And yet so many times we shut it out. So many times we don't let it come into our home. So many times we don't let it come into our lives. So many times we don't let it influence our families. and we don't let it come into our lives so that we can grow. See, mastery, in terms of mastery of the Christian life, it involves growing. We have to have a mindset of, I want to grow. I want to understand. I want to know the will of God. And if you start to say to yourself, I don't need to grow anymore, that's when you're going to start to have problems. In fact, many times this is what we see in the schools, is once a student has said, I have learned all I need to learn, a lot of times they'll just shut down. It doesn't matter what I do, it doesn't matter what I say, I could have the most interesting and engaging lesson, but if they have locked themselves out, a lot of times it's, I do the best I can, there's only so much I can do. You have to take it upon yourself to grow. I'll do the best I can to help, I'll do the best I can to assist, but at the end of the day, you have to make the decision to hunger and thirst after righteousness so that you can be filled. See, this mindset of growth is not an easy one, but when we have the mindset of growth, it is evident in our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, as part of the reading goes, it says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. When you're consuming the words of God, it's going to be evident to all. People are going to be able to tell, they're going to be able to look at you. The way that you speak about the Bible, the way that you know the Bible, the way that you conduct yourself, they will know, it will be evident. You'll be the light that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. But are we not growing anymore? Have we decided to lay down our Bibles? Have we decided to lay down the Word of God? Have we decided not to be the Bereans that we see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why were they more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica? In that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether the things were so. Are you searching the Scriptures daily? Are you doing what 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says? Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Deliberate practice, deliberate consumption of the word of God. I've always found it interesting. We'll schedule all our meals, but we won't schedule our spiritual meals. When's your next spiritual meal going to take place? I bet you can tell me when you're going to eat your next physical meal. But you can't even tell me when your next spiritual meal is going to take place. Is it going to be when you go home tonight, right before you go to bed? Or is it going to be when you wake up early in the morning? When is your next spiritual meal that you are going to take part in for growth? Or we just said to ourselves, I don't need spiritual meals. I don't need to grow. I've got to the point where I don't. That's not necessary anymore. So many people will start Bible reading programs, and they'll stop for all kinds of reasons. And what I'd like to tell you is the Bible didn't stop, you stop. The Bible didn't stop. The Bible didn't close. The Bible didn't shut down. Didn't say you couldn't come back anymore. You decided, I'm not going to grow anymore. Growth is certainly not easy. It takes deliberate practice, and it's certainly an expectation of Christians. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, for though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Here the Hebrews writer is like, what's happened? Said, by this time you should be teachers. Why are you not teaching? What's happened? Well, they haven't grown like they should. One of the things I love here at Sandyville is the last Sunday of the month where we have men from the congregation who don't traditionally speak. I think it is one of the greatest things I've found as I've traveled to many, many different congregations, and honestly, I haven't found it in any other place that I have personally been. And this time you ought to be teachers. And it's not necessarily in this type of format where we're preaching, but we should be able to go and teach people the gospel. And if we can't teach people the gospel, what's happened? Well, we haven't grown like we should. We haven't grown the way that we should. Why are we, I, us, not growing as brothers and sisters in Christ? Have we forgotten that growth is a necessity in the Christian life? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to grow up and be the Christians that God wants us to be. That we can take on the Christian life and do those things that we know that we should be doing as maturing Christians as we try to grow in our Christian lives. Number two in the book, it said there's another quality we need for mastery. That quality was perseverance. And for this study, it was interesting. They studied graduates from West Point. West Point, a prestigious military school. And they studied a lot of the graduates throughout time. General Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, all these people. And they tried to find a common thread among all of these men. They said, who got through West Point? Was it the smartest who got through? Was it the ones that were the most physically strong? Was it the quickest? And what they found was when they really tried to boil it down and they tried to do case studies on each individual, they broke it down to perseverance. It was those who had grit. It was those individuals who said, I will not give up. I will endure. It doesn't matter what assignment you set in front of me. It doesn't matter what task you lay before me. I will do whatever it is. I'll endure it all. That was the trait that they found. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think when we get to heaven, that's what we'll find. We will find those who have persevered. We will find those who have endured all the trials, all the tribulations, all the heartaches, all the pain, all the things of this life. There are those who persevered. You know, throughout life, I fear that sometimes people try to fake perseverance. They try to fake hard work. We can't fake hard work. We can't fake perseverance. It's got to be a part of us. It's got to be a part of every Christian that we will go through whatever we need to go through throughout this life to make sure that we make it to heaven. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, I think God's kind of talking about this idea of trying to fake it. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. You're not going to trick God. If you're planting tomatoes, you're not going to get an apple tree. You're not going to trick God. God is not mocked. God knows what you're doing. God knows what you're sowing in your life. And that which you will sow, you'll reap. You're not going to trick God in your hard work. When I was younger, my brothers and I, we kind of had a mowing company. We'd mow all over town, and we'd mow all the time. Well, every once in a while, my older brother, he liked playing little games on me. So we said, okay, we're going to weed eat this house. He said, you start on this side, I'll start on the other. And I said, okay, not a problem. And I started weed eating. I started here on the other house. He's like really revving his weed. And I'm like, man, what did he get into over there? We're just weed eating around the house. It's not like we're dealing with any big weeds. So I peek around the edge of that house. He's just pulling his gas in and he's holding his weed up. He wasn't doing any work at all. He was just going, oh, yeah, it's out. I said, what are you doing? He said, I was waiting on you to get around that whole house. We can't fake work. We can't fake hard work. We can't fake perseverance. And many times people in our lives right here, they try to fake it. They say, oh, I'm working hard. I'm working hard in the kingdom. Hey, you might be able to trick me, but you're not going to trick God. That which you sow is that which you will reap. And a lot of people think they're going to get out of this world trying to fake perseverance. Perseverance is hard. Perseverance isn't easy. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Heaven would be worth nothing if we didn't have to endure trials upon this earth. If we didn't have to endure trials upon this earth, wouldn't that be defined as heaven? Heaven on earth. No trials, no struggles, no pain. But see, as we go throughout this life, we have to endure it all. We have to endure the pain. We have to endure the suffering. We have to endure the tribulations. We have to endure the persecution. It's hard to persevere. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you have tribulation 10 days, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. What does God tell? He says, you're about to be thrown into prison. You're about to go through some tribulation. And he says, you probably won't even die. But he says, go through all that, and you'll get the crown of life. Persevere. Endure. But that's certainly hard. It's easier said than done. It's easier said than done when we read passages such as 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, where it says, if we desire to live righteously, we will suffer persecution. A lot of people like to stay away from that. If you want to live righteously, you will suffer persecution. We go to other passages such as John chapter 15 and verse 18, where Jesus says, they hated me before they hated you. And kind of paraphrasing, God said, do you think you're going to get out of this? They hated me before they hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. they needed me before they needed you. You think you're going to get out of this? And so many times, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged doing those things which we know are good, those things that we know are right. And constantly throughout the Bible, we see the Bible trying to encourage us to always do the right thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." Do not grow weary in doing good. Yeah, there's a lot of bad things happening to you. Yeah, there's a lot of temptations. Yeah, there's a lot of tribulation. But keep doing those things which are right. Persevere. Endure. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Will we endure as Christians? Will we persevere? Will we stand? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and which you stand. Will you stand on the principles and values and ideas of Jesus Christ, or will you run? Will you stand or will you run? Will you stand or will you flee? Will you stand or will you melt away? Will you endure? Will you persevere? All of the things that come to us throughout this life." Well, you say, this sounds like rough. Yeah, it is rough. It's rough to be a Christian. It's a rough life. It's a blessed life, but it's a rough life. And that's what makes heaven all the... But how can we persevere throughout this life? It's because we're holding on to something. What kind of what could I be possibly holding on to that would be worth all of this? I'm holding on to heaven. That's what I'm holding on to. I'm not holding on to things of this earth. I'm holding on to heaven. That's the only way I'm going to persevere and endure through all of these things. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ and die is gain." Paul knew that death was profitable. Always said, whenever I became a Christian, as soon as I became a Christian, you know, I was ready to die, kind of like Jeff Lesson was. But see, I'm ready to die because I know that's where all the blessings are. The blessings are on to come. I'm fighting for my citizenship that is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. And it says that we eagerly wait. We eagerly wait. Are we eagerly waiting? See, I'm holding on to something. I'm holding on to heaven. I'm holding on to those mansions that he talks about in John chapter 14. He's going to prepare a place for us. And I want to go home to be with him. See, it's not easy to persevere. It's not easy to endure. But we're holding on to something. We're holding on to the hope of heaven. Number three, they went and they tried to study some of the people that were most successful in life. Of course, that depends on what you determine is successful in this life. But they went to the most successful business people. They went to the most successful athletes, and they tried to study these individuals. And they went and they tried to interview as many of the masters as they could find. And they said, "You masters, how would you define mastery?" And almost everyone, in their own words, said, "You know what? Mastery isn't obtainable." They say, "You might think I'm good at what I do, but I can tell you this, I could be a whole lot better." And isn't that the Christian life? If we try to get better and better each and every day, but then we look at ourselves and we say, "Man, I could be so much better. I've got so much more to do. I've got so many more people to help. In fact, I'm like Paul, I'm hard pressed between two things. I want to go home and be with God in heaven, but you know, I want to stay on this world and help as many people as I can." See, what mastery is understanding that mastery is unattainable. There's always more we can do. There's always more people that we can help. There's always more things that we can do. I had pre-calculus with my wife. Now, I'll tell you that my wife was in the top part of the class and I was in the bottom part of the class. I like to say that I gave her spot because I made her spot possible, you know, the top half of the class. I made her spot possible. But when we were in pre-calculus, we studied this idea called an asymptote. But basically, an asymptote is a line, and there's a line that approaches it. But this line approaches this line, but it never will touch it. Now, it'll get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer, and it'll get infinitesimally close, but it'll never hit that line. The asymptote. That's the Christian life. It's each and every day I'm pushing and I'm pushing and I'm pushing. I'm trying to get better and better. And what am I pushing towards? I'm pushing towards Christ to be most Christ-like I can be. But the thing is I will never reach the standard of Christ. Why can't I do that? Well, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 would be a good place to start. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'll never be able to reach it for that reason and so many other reasons. But each day, I'm reaching for the unreachable. I'm reaching for Christ. I'm reaching to be the best that I can be. Each and every day, I try to be better and better. And there's so many things as we look at the Christian life that we can be better and better at. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 gives us a few, but there's so many. Love your neighbor as yourself. We could just go on and on, but in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bear with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There's so many things for us to do throughout the Christian life. So many qualities that we need to make our own, so that we can constantly get better and better as we try to approach Christ. Now, will we ever touch Christ? No. But we try to get better and better each and every day. We continually fall short of that example which God has given us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, for to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We're trying to follow the steps of Jesus. And the thing is when I realize that I can't go where Jesus went because I wasn't perfect. But I want to get as close to those steps as I can. I want to follow them as best I can each and every day of my life. To give my best each and every day. There's a story that I heard, and I tried to look it up all afternoon and all week, and I couldn't find it again, but it's one of those things where you read so much you forget where you read it. But it was a great story. It was about an Olympic athlete. And this Olympic athlete was a skier, and I believe it was in the 70s or the 80s, but I can't quote it because I couldn't find the story. But this skier, he had done so well in the first two rounds of his event. He had scored so highly that there is no way he could beat. There is no way he could be beat. For the third round, he was going to ski. He knew he was going to be a gold medalist. He was on the third round. He had scored so highly in rounds 1 and 2 that no one could touch him. No one could touch this guy. He was not going to be beat. Except for one rule, he could not fall down. He could not fall down. They said the way the rules were, if he fell down, he would not even place. So I don't know if I was you and I was going down off that ski on the last round knowing that I had enough points to beat everybody, I would come down that slope pretty carefully. I'd make sure I miss those rocks. I'd make sure I miss those turns because time does not matter now because we had enough points. Well, they start the race, and he rushes out, and all the commentators are like, what's going on? He's flying out of the gates. He's flying down the slope. They think he's going to break a record. And what happens is about three-fourths of the way down the slope, he falls. He doesn't even place. Afterwards, after it happens, he avoids all interviews and whatnot. And there was a skier, and he was talking to his trainer a few years later. And he said, you know what, I had a question I wanted to ask him. He was a shoe-in for the gold medal. Why didn't he just take it easy? Why didn't he just take it nice and smooth and not worry about it? And he says, I can't speak for him, but he said, I did train with him. And he said, I can put it best in my own words. What I think he was thinking is that day, he was trying to ski his best race. He didn't care about the gold medal. He didn't care about all the accolades. He was just trying to do his best. And what I want you to know is if you try to do your best for Christ, you're going to fall on your face. You're going to fall on your face every once in a while because you're pushing so hard. You're trying to do everything that you can. You're going to fall on your face. It happened to me when I was 18 and I went to preach for the first time. Still happens to me now. I just keep falling on my face again and again and again because I'm pushing that line of my potential. And on Judgment Day, what I'm afraid that God will do is He'll look at me and say, Kyle, and He's going to bring out a crystal ball, and He's going to say, Kyle, this is what you could have been in the kingdom. This is what you could have been. You could have grown, and you could have done this. You could have persevered through this trial, and persevered through this trial, and you could have given your best, and you would have been here. But because you decided to take the easy road, you didn't make it here at all. You didn't make it here at all because you didn't give your best. I don't think that God is after perfection in our lives. It's not a realistic expectation. But I believe what God is after is that our best each and every day of our lives. He's looking for us to just give our best. Isn't that the real test of our lives? To just give our best. To not take days off. To not say, I'm going to take it easy because I've done all these good things in the past. To not say, I'm just going to wait till someone else comes along to do the work. Trying to apply all those things to our lives as Christians to be the best we can be is certainly a challenge. We start to look through all the things that God's asked of us, and we know certainly that we'll fall short throughout our lives as we try to do the will of God. But it's that idea that we can always do better, can't we? We can always improve, can't we? When I looked at that book, it said that there were three things that you needed to master something. Number one is you have to grow. Number two, you have to persevere. And number three, you have to understand that you're never going to meet mastery. And that you just have to give your best. Can you do that in your Christian life? Can you say that I will grow? Do you have that mindset? I can grow. Do you have the idea and the mindset and that you have perseverance? It doesn't matter what life throws at me. It doesn't matter what trials and tribulations come my way. I will endure it all. I will persevere. I will not quit. And will you understand that you'll never meet the standard of Jesus Christ? But understanding that you'll not meet the standard of Jesus Christ, you'll make the commitment to give your best each and every day, to grow, to persevere, to improve, to give God your all. And that way, on the judgment day, you can say with confidence, Lord, I give you all I have. Will you give the Lord all you have today? Will you give the Lord you have everything that you have every day of your life? If you're a non-Christian, maybe you've never given God anything. And maybe you didn't realize that you have to deny yourself if you're going to follow Jesus. And certainly that's an idea that I think can consume our thoughts for a while. Deny ourselves and follow Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Give Him everything. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to submit to the words of Jesus, that you'll hear the words of God, that you'll believe, that you'll repent, that you will confess, that you will be baptized, and that you'll start your life with trying to give your best each and every day? Mastering the Christian life. Can we grow? Can we persevere? Can we understand that mastery is not attainable, but I will always give my best? If you're subject to an invitation in any way, you need to pray for the church, or you need to become a New Testament Christian, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.